Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Mission Zach Leguizamo-Rama experience. This is your spoiler warning. If you have not seen Revenge 1990 or any sort of revenge film, or more than a couple of revenge films, and are able to sort of, you know the basic beats of a story like that. If you haven't seen, but really Revenge, because there's some twists and turns, and you want to, you don't want it ruined for you because you've been meaning to get around to watching it for the last 31 years, this is your spoiler warning. But if you're cool with the spoil, get on in. This is going to be a good one.
Peace. I hate the word. I got one leg and a bucket of chicken. Gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man. Luigi Mario!
Hello. It's me. I am joined, as always, by my good friend, Zachy.
Wow.
We are Leguizamo-Rama, and it's great.
There's music playing. You know that in the edit, there's music underneath you. This is going to be fun for
you,
Tom.
You just ruined that for me.
No, keep going.
I'm just telling you
it's going to be a little bit discordant, potentially.
I don't care. I rhymed me with Zachy, and I was too happy with that.
Do you know what's beautiful?
What?
You just did, I rhymed me with Zachy, and I was too happy. Just a little accidental rhyme. Anyway, carry on.
I'm Hello. Mish. Hello, I'm Mish. I'm Mish. You might know me from all the Grammys I've won.
Have you won Grammys?
Yeah, I'm Adele.
Oh, yeah. I see.
And I'm joined, as always, by my dear friend Zach Ruane, who you might know from.
From...
good.
Getting out of lockdown, we're back in a room together.
It's nice to see you again.
It's nice to see you too.
There's been too many times in our podcasting experience where we've gone really long periods without seeing each other, and then we see each other.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, this is Leguizamo-Rama.
Oh, yeah.
It's a podcast where two friends watch every movie starring John Leguizamo.
Yeah, that's right.
You know this. I don't think we're getting new listeners on the Revenge one.
Imagine if we did. Imagine if this is the one that took off.
This is the one that blew up.
This is the one Johnny listens to.
Oh, fingers crossed. Johnny, we love you if you're listening.
He knows who we are. He has now responded to two questions that we've asked on our Instagram, and the last one was a lame question.
The last one, the one that you just answered?
Yeah, the one about the trip too.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a good question.
Yeah, I asked a question of Johnny Legs on Instagram. I tagged him in it. I was like, hey, did you enjoy filming this film?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to bed, and then I woke up, and Johnny Legs had made contact. Wow. In fact, I got a notification on my phone that says John Leguizamo has commented on your photo.
Wow.
That was, what a like, I might have had the sweetest dreams that night.
Wow.
But when I woke up, I was living the sweetest dream.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Wow. Yeah. What a thrill. And, you know.
And he explained why.
He was like, he had a fun time on that shoot. Yeah. There are still questions unanswered, like, why did you do it?
Yeah.
But I think that's not for a post. That's for a one-on-one conversation.
Yeah.
Because there's probably specifics in there. But I thought he gave a great answer. And isn't that crazy? He was talking about the dangerous stunts. So that thing where he was on the thing in the sky in The Trip 2, the Spanish movie that we watched with no subtitles.
Sounds like it might have been him.
He might have actually been doing it.
Crazy.
Crazy stuff.
But anyway, John, if you are listening.
Which you are. You're our bud.
Yeah, you love us.
It went from like a podcast. You know, this podcast used to be like two fans. I'm a little embarrassed about it, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
Because now it's just like two mates talking about a mate.
Do you think, I've not thought about this, but do you think
Yeah.
that there's any chance that a contestant from season one MasterChef listened to recaps and has now come on over to Leguizamo?
Wow, that's a thought. No.
At all?
Zero.
There's zero chance.
There's just too many bad episodes from us.
I'm doing a quick shout out right now.
Yeah.
And I mean this.
Yeah.
If you were a contestant on season one of MasterChef and you listened to Recaps with Mish and Zach, which is a podcast that Zach and I did a couple of years ago where we recapped the entire of season one of MasterChef as if it was 2009.
MasterChef Australia. So MasterChef Australia. All you G. Ramsey fans, sorry, no deal.
Yeah, we're George's mates.
Yeah, we're George. We believe in the positive, loving, helpful, constructive critiques of the George, Matt and Gary era, but also the new team are doing that as well. I don't care for this toxic, meanie, beanie, genie coming from Mr.
Gordon Ramsay.
Ramsay.
Although, have you seen... Anyway, my point is if you were on that show and you listened, please reach out. Like, I'm begging you. I've never wanted something more than for someone on that show to be listening to Leguizamarama. But have you ever watched Gordon Ramsay do MasterChef Junior?
Yes, I've seen it.
What an angel.
I love this. I love people being like, oh, look, he's good to kids in front of a camera. So... Thus, like, he's not a cunt.
I think it was more so that people didn't think that, like, I mean, when I was watching Hell's Kitchen, Kitchen Nightmares, Hotel Hell.
Isn't it amazing that he was a legitimate chef once?
Yeah, I know. No, but do you know what else is really interesting is that chefs love him.
Yeah.
Chefs love him. I've known a chef or two in my time.
Yes, and if you are a regular listener to the Mish and Zach podcasts, you would know that... Mish was unlucky in love for a few years there. And there was
It couldn't really cook up a love, if you know.
When you're... I don't know a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about the feminine experience. Mm. You know, I'm hands up.
Yeah.
I got to do a little less yapping, a little more listening.
Yeah, that's right.
But one thing I do know is if you're a woman in your late 30s that's had a bad run with men... There's a few chefs in there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you have ever used dating apps, there was a period of time where you exclusively dated chefs. Not by choice. I didn't go out looking for them.
And this is not to say if someone is dating chefs, they're having a bad run.
No.
This is not to say if you are a chef or if you're dating a chef that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying if someone in their late 20s or early 30s is telling you about the difficulties they have around dating a woman, I guarantee you a couple of those boys were chefs. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely, no doubt. From my experience, the chefs that I have known in my sordid past, they all loved Gordon Ramsay. On the female experience, if you had to choose,
would you
rather know what it's like, to have your period or to lactate? What feeling are you
lactate,
more?
Lactate, 100%.
Yeah?
Oh, I guess like out of sympathy.
You only have a day. It's not like I'm like for a year you have to.
Yeah, because it's like I know that periods are very unpleasant for a lot of women. So I would prefer, but it would probably be better to understand.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I would say actually period pain because I think that would make me hopefully a little more empathetic. But then wouldn't you just hate it, ladies? If that deal was struck with, like, some sort of god that could make it happen and then the body swap happened with someone with a light flow.
Can I just say, though, Zach, knowing you and knowing you as well as I do, if your body had a period, it would not be a light flow.
No, I would be. I'd be like endo to the max.
Yeah, you would be endo full on. You would need all the... fucking
but wouldn't that be funny? And then I wouldn't be able to say it, right? I'd just be like, oh, wasn't that bad? And I'd be like, pretty bad, isn't it? I'd be like, maybe, I don't know. that would be just your luck, wouldn't it, ladies?
Anyway.
Oh, goodness. Goodness me. What about you? If you could experience having a stiffy.
Yeah.
Or being the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. The two male experiences.
For how long?
For a day.
I can only be rich for a day.
And it's a busy day. Like, you're the CEO of Fortune 500. You're stressed out of your mind. You're sitting in the
office.
Can I,
if I purchase anything as a CEO on that day, can I keep it?
No. Oh, yeah, okay. It's a body swap.
Oh, stiffy. 100% a stiffy.
I would love
to know what it feels like to have a stiffy. I'm assuming it feels very similar to when I'm horny, except that just something gets...
It's like by most explanations of human anatomy, it's pretty similar. It's just the opposite.
Can you... Okay, here's a question. I grew up pretty much only with women, right? I went to an all-girls school. I had a sister and a mum, and my dad wasn't there very much, right? So there are a lot of questions I've had throughout my life for my male friends that then, you know, that they will answer them for me. For example, I was like, what happens when you need to pee and poo at the same time? Because a girl, if she's sitting down, she's doing a wee, she goes, oh, I've got to do a little poo. She does a poo. With a guy, it's like, do you stand up and wee and then quickly sit down to poo? And I was told by a very good friend of mine, Sam, shout out to Sam.
Shout out to Sam.
That, no, you just hold your penis down to do a wee.
Oh, yeah. That's a very... Are you sure Sam was comfortable with you sharing that on a podcast?
Yeah, no, it's not Sam Lingham.
Oh, okay.
I want to make it very, very clear that it's not Sam Lingham.
Okay, sure.
I have a handful of friends named Sam.
It's a common name.
Yeah. Sorry, straight up, not Sam Lingham.
Yeah, great.
The more I say that, though, the more people...
The more it sounds like it was Sam Lingham.
It wasn't Sam Lingham. But I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And if you deem this inappropriate... Although
well,
I don't...
that's part of it, isn't it? You know, the sitting down, standing up... conversation is a great, like, if the answer is, hey, that makes me uncomfortable, that goes to tell you a little about the male experience.
But the question I asked of my friend Sam, not Sam Lingham, was about pee and poo. The question I'm about to ask you was about stiffies. I would say that...
How do you pee with a stiffy?
No, I know that because I've asked.
That's like a real...
I've asked. This one I've never asked. As an adult... Can you get a stiffy and not know you've got one?
No.
Okay.
Oh!
So, like, you know when you're young, I know that when guys are going through puberty, they'll be like, oh, my God, I've got a stiffy.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
But as an adult, is it possible for you to be walking around and be like, oh, Jesus Christ, I've got a stiffy? You know what I mean?
I guess I have to do follow-up questions to that. I guess my question is... Is it like, can you get a stiffy without thinking about getting a stiffy? Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying, can you not know that you have a stiffy?
You cannot know that you've got
like
one.
It so goes like you're up and it goes down potentially in this scenario and you never knew.
Yeah, you're just watching television. You get up, make a cup of coffee, checking an email, and then you look down and you're like, oh my God, I've got a stiffy.
I would say, I probably can't answer that question directly. What I can say is I think
Can you answer it in metaphor?
No, I think that what it opens up for me, I can go, nah. That can be my answer, right? Nah, you know. But what it opens up for me is something far more interesting, which is degrees of stiffy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think sometimes we think of stiffies in a binary. We think of flop and stiff.
Yeah.
But it's degrees. It's like any
like
genitalia.
Semi.
Yeah, it's a semi. When does it stop? When does it become a semi?
Yeah. When does it become a stiffy? And then even still, when does it become
when
a
does
stiffy?
A semi become a stiffy? And when does a stiffy? You know, it's degrees of stiff. So I think you can have a semi.
Yeah.
Without knowing.
Yeah.
And I think potentially a semi can become a stiffy. A stiffy on the softer end of the spectrum.
Okay, I hear you.
I'm not talking rod rock hard. If it's a rock hard rod, you know.
Yeah.
But if we're talking a gentle stiffy, I don't think you could not know that there was something going on down there. But you could perchance mistake a semi for a stiffy and maybe you could think... I think it's degrees.
Yeah, fair.
So if it's a scale of 1 to 10, one being not stiff, 10 being too stiff. I'm going to stop.
Too stiff?
Like 10 being, one being not stiff and 10 being full rock hard rod. Can you have a 10 and think it's a 0? No.
Yeah.
But I think there's a range of about 5.
I really hope.
Maybe 4. I think there's a range of 4. You can be a 2.
Yeah.
And actually, you can think you're at a 2, but actually be at a 6.
Tom, if you're listening, can you go back to when we first started talking about stiffies and just put very, very, very quiet, sexy music under it? I would like that.
Yeah.
Because this got hot.
Did it? Yeah. Talking about rock and roll.
Because this got sexy, Tom, and I think you agree.
My allergies are playing up. I have a dog and right now my allergies are playing up. So there's nothing like sexier than talking about rock hard rods with your voice a bit like this. I can't really breathe through my nose right now.
Blessed. Do you know, though, if we're going to be talking about stiffies.
Well, clearly we are, my God.
This is the best movie in which to be talking about
the
stiffies.
The first 45.
Oh, yes. Let's be very clear. That's such a good point. The first 45 minutes of this movie is stiffy central. If I was a 15, 16-year-old boy in 1990 and I watched this movie, I would have a rock hard rot.
It would be the sort of movie that, like, the VHS would be there in the collection.
Yeah.
I imagine this movie was R. I imagine there was an R in that little diamond.
Absolutely, this was an R film.
And I reckon that VHS would have lived on the shelf and you never watched the movie, but when mum and dad were at the shops and like, we can leave you at home for an hour and a half, you would be doing a bit of fast forwarding to the best bits.
Oh, 100%. But then the second half.
No.
You'd not never so get a stiffy again.
Yeah, so, in this scenario, you've never seen the second half.
No, that's true.
You've not seen the first bits either. You're just right in that middle bit where there's like, it's provocative.
I would say so.
It's the most, of all the sexy thrillers we've watched, it's the most, it's not that you see more, but I think it's the most explicit. There's just a couple of choices there. That I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, read the blurb because I have some things to say.
Firstly, I don't think we'll go there, but trigger warning.
Yep.
For the second half, but I don't think we'll go there. Revenge is a 1990 romantic thriller, according to Wikipedia. Directed by Tony Scott.
Romantic's a choice.
Yeah. Again, first 45.
Yeah.
And starring the guy from Waterworld, the lady from 12 Monkeys, the guy who played Zorba in Zorba the Greek, one of the bad guys from RoboCop, and John Leguizamo for a bit at the end. The very visually appealing film, directed by Tony Scott, tells the story of Michael J. Jay. So Michael J, J, nickname, J-A-Y, Cochran, open bracket, Kevin Costner, close bracket, a sexy all-American fighter pilot who starts an illicit affair with the wife of a rich Mexican drug lord.
Mm.
After 45 horny minutes, the drug lord finds out about the affair and his response is as aggressive as you'd think, but decidedly more full-on.
Mm.
Then the rest of the film is very violent and chock full of triggers and mean words about women. I watched this film in double time, not because of its quality, but because of circumstance. It made that more full on. John Leguizamo plays a sexy Mexican dude that helps Jay do some of the violence back at the nasty drug lord.
Oh, can I just say?
Yeah.
Zach was running a bit late today, so he had to watch the film in double time.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked into the podcast studio. He was just at the end of this film, and I was listening to it in double time. And I was like, oh, my God, what are you doing? It sounds horrific.
It was, I imagine, I watched it in double time, full. But I want to be very clear, this was not one of those ones where I was 15 minutes in and I was like, ugh, double time.
Mm.
I think I would have, like, I would have, like, Tony Scott's a very competent filmmaker. I think I can't say, but I would have loved to have watched this film at a normal speed. It was a circumstantial double time. That being said, double time, it becomes an information thing. It becomes, and like some of the, and pacing is so important. And I think the visuals were so beautiful. I think some of the violence in this film, from an artistic point of view, was meant to be contrasted with some more slow, beautiful, languid. Like there was meant to be a contrast in this film of violence and beauty full on, and maybe. What I'm saying is I didn't get that.
Mm.
I just got blah, 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 violence and then blah, 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 beautiful sunsets. So I just think that's an important disclosure to make.
Totally fair. It is very much like someone said, I want to make a movie full of sex and violence, but I don't know how to combine the two. So we'll just put all the sex at the start and then all the violence at the end.
Which makes some sense. Like, that is kind of the structure of a revenge thriller. Like, you know, it's good times and then bad times and then bad times back at them.
Yeah. I think what I would like to do is talk a little bit about the sexy thriller, if I may.
The sexy thriller is a genre?
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
So there are all of our listeners know. Like our true listeners. Mish loves a sexy thriller.
Mish loves a sexy thriller. Mish, at any age, loves a sexy thriller nearly as much as Mish at 27 loves going on two or three dates with a chef.
Fucking hell. That's very true. Okay. I love a sexy thriller.
Yeah.
And this, no exception, loved this movie. Straight up thought it was, it's pure entertainment and 90s sexy thrillers. Oh, yeah, I want to make that very clear. I love a 90s sexy thriller. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of a 2000s sexy thriller.
Which is that's a really great point.
Yeah.
Which is like a 90s sexy thriller but with more like blue.
CGI.
Everything's more like, blue, you know, yes. Like literally like the color grading is very blue.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. There is, however, a spectrum of the sexy thriller, from sexy to like a kind of pornographic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this ain't shit on porn, but this movie, you would find those scenes on Pornhub. Like, it was quite pornographic, really. Like
an R-rated porn.
Yeah.
Like the porn section at the video shop that your grandpa would get
absolutely.
A VHS from.
And I'm not saying I like either one of them more. I'm just saying that, like, I just want to talk about the concept
the
of
spectrum.
The yes, exactly. Whereas, have you ever seen a movie called Two Moon Junction?
No. That's the one with Mickey Rourke.
Yes, it is.
He had a bit of a run of sexy thrillers.
Oh, my God. He was the master of the late 80s sexy thrillers.
Now, I don't think I've seen any late 80s sexy thrillers. This is a real gap in my knowledge, Michelle. Oh,
it wasn't Mickey Rourke. I'm so sorry. It was a guy named Richard Tyson who is not Mickey Rourke, but should be Mickey Rourke.
Because Mickey Rourke's 8.5 weeks and he just did a lot. That's funny.
Yeah. No. This guy, he was in Kindergarten Cop. He was the bad guy.
I'm Googling it. I'm doing a Google.
He was the bad guy in Kindergarten Cop. Anyway, he did this movie called Two Moon Junction, which was a 1988, like, erotic thriller.
Oh, my God. It's got Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks. I love her.
Mate, this movie, it's on Stan. It is on
of
Stan.
Of course it's on Stan.
Because
it's the most Stan thing.
Oh, it is the most Stan
thing. To just have
thing.
Two Moon Junction.
The best thing about it as well is you select it and then beneath it before you press play, Stan offers you all these movies that are very similar to Two
Can
Moon
I tell
Junction.
You, I want you to guess. I want to play like at the end of this. I want to play 20 questions on what I watched on Stan last week during lockdown. I did the ultimate like,
comfort movie choice. Like.
Oh, okay, cool.
But it's so way off. Like, it's not in this realm, but it's just funny that this was on Stan.
I could play that too. We can play. I watch. Me too.
Stan truly is the weeklies section, the bottom shelf weekly section.
It is. No, but it is.
In a good way. In a good way.
And do you know what's even better is Disney Plus Star, which is all the movies around the era when VHS was turning into DVD. So it's all the first movies you ever saw on DVD.
Do you know what it is? Stan is the weekly section and Disney Plus Star is the new releases.
Stan is the $5 for $10 weeklies and Disney Plus Star is $3 for $10.
What I'm telling you right now is there's value to both. There's a robust – I think Stan has a place in the robust mix of –
oh, fuck yeah.
I love Stan.
I love Stan.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
You can say that.
I love Stan.
You can say – oh, wait, you don't know if you can say that. Yeah, Stan's great.
I'm just playing. I love Stan. I love Stan. I love them all.
Yeah, same.
I think they all have their place. And because of Leguizamarama, I've ended up – I'm on, like, I'm virtually on all of them.
Yeah. I've stolen all of my partner's dad's. He's part of all the streaming services, so
I share Disney Plus with my dad, and then my nieces and nephews often go to their place. So, like, there's just always this, like, 10 minutes of this fucking thing watched, 10 minutes, and I'm like, guys, it's getting hard to scroll back to X-Files. 100%. Can we please just, like, stop with the 10 minutes of whatever Disney Channel thing you've watched? I say that to my – no, I don't.
What you have to do is watch Two Moon Junction after you've – if you like revenge, you got to watch Two Moon Junction. Because I'll remove the – I won't say pornographic. It's not porn. It's erotic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly,
like,
what you mean.
It's kind of like a late 80s, early 90s erotic novel.
Yeah.
Right? Like the covers, like a Mills and Boone type thing. Very, like – very garter belt.
I can't tell you.
Very
I can't tell you
silk slip over hard nipples.
Finn. I love the actress in it is so good. That's so,
oh yeah. That's you got to so watch good. It too. If you're in a sexy thriller mood. You got to watch.
She's got like a bleach blonde thing. Yo, going on.
And she's beautiful.
And the dark eyebrows against the bleach blonde. She's great. She should have had a bigger career than she did.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
But this dude, oh my God.
Can we talk about – yeah, I know, isn't he insane? he's the bad guy from Kindergarten Cop.
That's so funny.
Can we talk about the relationship between Madeleine Stowe and Kevin Costner in this film, please?
Sure. What do you want to say about it?
It's remarkable what we let film get away with because we are truly meant to believe that they are in love, right? So she's married to this big rich guy that he seems to be friends with. He retires from being a US fighter pilot and in retirement decides to go and see someone who's a friend, I suppose, who's clearly a cartel boss.
They never really go into why they're friends, do they?
No, not at all. And for some reason, why in retirement is the first thing you do is to go to Mexico and stay at this mansion of some guy who talks a lot in metaphors and – you don't seem that close with him, like, but that's where you've chosen to go in retirement. Anyway, he sees his wife, who's Madeleine Stowe.
From 12 Monkeys.
From 12 Monkeys and from Blink, my favourite sexy thriller of all time.
What?
Yeah.
I've never heard of Blink in my entire life.
I swear I've spoken about it on a podcast. I'm surprised it's not with you. Blink is a sexy 90s thriller sure you that did, you though. Cannot find anywhere. But my mum had it on VHS. And wow. I was obsessed. I want to find it. Someone find me Blink.
Can I say, this lockdown, I had a real moment of like, I think I'm going to start collecting Blu-rays because like there was just this run of wanting to watch movies and it not being available on any. I'm like, I'm signed up to 50 streaming services and I'm like, I want to watch this. Can't get it. Want to watch this. Can't get it.
Oh, it's frustrating as.
Yeah.
Blink, Madeleine Stowe is in that. Anyway, and they see each other. They have a fairly mild conversation on a beach.
Yeah.
Then it rains and then they decide they're in love. And then their entire relationship, which probably spans about a week, is, from what we see anyway, just sex.
Yeah.
It's just really full-on sex. And then she, like, lies to her husband and says, I'm going to go see my sister, and goes away to a cabin with him, and then they do a montage of them traveling to the – and then they have that car scene. Hello.
Hello. That's the one that made me go, like, there's just moments in that where I was like, good, good, wowee.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Wowee.
Yeah. And then they just have.
Because they lick each other's fingers and then finger bang.
I was going to try and keep it. I mean, we've talked about stiffies already. We might as well just talk about a good old finger bashing.
Oh, there's quite a wet finger banging.
Jesus Christ.
It's an explicit movie.
That, I will just say that scene. That's not how it works. It doesn't work like that. Also, his pants were done up. His penis was inside his pants.
Mm.
They were not having sex, but they tried to make it look like they were. That was bad. Mm. Anyway, I just find it very funny. I just found that very funny. The trajectory of their relationship being like, we've just met and now we're in love, but their entire relationship was based around unrealistic sex.
Mm.
How funny was it when they have sex for the first time? And she, after she climaxes or whatever, she pushes him off her and she like looks disgusted in herself. And then he just picks up a rack of
blazers
and throws them across the room.
Because they're having sex at a party.
In a closet.
In the coat room.
Yeah.
Is there a place for sexy thrillers now? Because I feel like in the age of porno, there's no illicit reason to watch a sexy thriller. If you're a dude, you know, that can't buy a porno at the magazine shop. You know, there's definitely like, oh, this is a bit horny.
But I don't watch it. Like, I don't enjoy sexy thrillers because it makes me horny.
No. I know you don't.
Like a 90s sexy thriller because it's just so, it's pure entertainment, unrealistic. Like, it's just wonderful. But it's not because it makes me crack a moisty.
But I feel like there's an element. Like, what's the purpose of a scene that horny?
Oh, back then it was because it was
to be arousing.
Oh, of course.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there's less of a place for it now.
Mm. Well, even in just like action films from the early 90s, late 80s, like there's always like some weird, unnecessary, full-on
sex scene. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's one, I can't remember the movie, but there's one where all this shit is happening. Like someone's trying to kill somebody, the kid's gone missing, I don't know. And in the middle of it,
they just have some sex.
I think Demi Moore's in it from memory.
That's great.
Yeah. Demi Moore loved a, you know, like an unnecessary sex scene in a film. But like I swear Demi Moore's in it. There's movies like that, it's because the access to pornography is not as easy. And if you say, oh, I watched a movie Revenge last night, people are like, oh, sick. Whereas if you're like, I watched Giant Jugs 3, people are like, why are you telling me that?
Yeah, like I'm a signed up member of 4 OnlyFans accounts.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, cool, man.
Yeah,
here's a fun thought that the sexy thriller was predominantly aimed at men in the 80s, 90s and 2000s and maybe, oh, no, 80s, 90s. And over the last 20 years, its main audience is women. Discuss.
You think so?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I might be wrong.
I think I'm wrong.
I think most sex in films is aimed at men.
Mm.
At the pleasure of men.
But then I guess Kevin Costner's a hottie with a body.
Oh, absolutely. Do not get me wrong, but the focus is...
It felt very for men, right? And then absolutely. I was like, what's an example of a sexy thriller now? And I was like, the only thing I can think of is like 50 Shades of Grey. Mm. So there's been this like full flip of who it's aimed at.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey is not a sexy thriller.
And also I think there was like, you know, a Richard Gere sexy thriller is for everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that is for, but that's more the 2000 sexy thriller, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you look at like a Tom Hanks doesn't do sexy thrillers. Tom Cruise sexy thriller. I do think there's an element of Tom Cruise representing the everyman.
Mm.
And they pulled, like Madeleine Stowe in Revenge is stunning.
Stunning.
Stunning. And I think Tom Cruise, when he does a sexy film, it's like men can be like, oh, I'm like him. I'm a bit like Tom Cruise. You know what I mean?
I don't see Tom Cruise. I don't see myself in that insanely fit man.
No, I think that generally speaking, and I don't think it's changed too much up until 2021, most sex in film is for men, majority.
But that's, isn't that interesting? It's almost like it's shifted a little bit with the sexy thriller.
Yeah.
Like just a little bit, but maybe, but more than anything, there's just no more sexy thrillers.
Mm, absolutely.
Is there a sexy thriller?
Well, I don't think anything, like,
is there sexy mainstream movies anymore? Is there movies anymore?
Not like they used to be, because now if you released Revenge now.
You just wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
You'd make it a TV series.
Yeah.
You'd do it on. You just wouldn't.
No.
That kind of film is done.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't exist anymore.
I'm trying to think of what sex in film is like now. Like 50 Shades of Grey is such a bad example.
Yeah.
Not because it's so predominant.
And then Magic Mike is another example. Like I feel like Magic Mike, 50 Shades of Grey.
That sex life show that's on Netflix these days.
Yeah. Like I think like it's possibly shifted. It's possibly, and maybe it's because maybe that's interesting. I don't know what that says.
Can I just say, yeah, there's this show on Stan.
Yeah.
Called Normal People, which is a Sally Rooney. I hope I'm not getting that name wrong. Based on a Sally Rooney novel.
Yeah.
It's set in an island.
Oh, I've heard about this.
It's phenomenal.
Lena's always banging on about
Lena
it on
Moon
Instagram.
Loves it.
Lena always Moon, banging on about
yeah,
it.
Fucking
on
loves this shit. No.
Yeah. No. I've heard it's great.
It's fucking amazing. And spoiler alert for Normal People.
How spoilery!
It happens in the second episode, but okay, you know
yeah.
it's going to.
Yeah.
They have sex.
Oh right,
the first
yes,
time.
Yes, yes. It's a sex movie.
Yeah,
sex
it's
show.
A sex.
Yeah,
so it's the relationship of these two people in high school, all the way up until when they finish university.
Yeah.
That's all I'll give away. But the second episode when they have sex the first time, it is one of the most realistic depictions of sex.
Great.
And it is so well done. And it was the first time in years, almost my adult life, where I was, where a sex scene had an impact on me. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying it made me horny. I'm just saying sex in films now, because we are so exposed to sex, whether it be like magazines, television, fucking all media sources. Like sex, when I see a sex scene in a film, I'm not like, ooh, bitch, like nothing.
Ooh, yeah.
Whereas, and it's not like this scene in Normal People made me horny, but it made me feel something. And I was like, through a sex scene, because I had not seen sex depicted like that in film or on television. And it's
on the filmic arts.
Yeah. So
the movie.
Highly recommend. It's a great, like in terms of a study of acting, my God, so good.
Do you know, there was a film called The Miseducation of Cameron Post with, what's her name?
No idea what you're talking about.
Blonde. It had, the reason I watched it was it had the lead actor from, not lead actor, I'll go gendered with this, the lead actress from American Honey, which is an amazing film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's her name? She did. She was in Kick-Ass. Lee.
Oh, I don't know.
The girl from Kick-Ass.
Oh, Chloe.
Chloe, not Deschanel. That's all I'm thinking. You know when you get Deschanel in your head and
not
you
Chloe
can't.
Sevigny.
Not Chloe Sevigny. Not Chloe Deschanel.
Chloe.
We're not talking about It Girls of various decades. You gotta get off. You gotta get the It Girl of the different decades.
Oh fuck.
I'm Googling it, so it's all right. Miseducation of Cameron. It's beside the point. I'm just on her now. I can't think of her name. Miseducation of Cameron Post is dun, 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 Chloe Grace Moretz.
Thank you.
And Sasha Lane is the name of. Oh, she's good.
Anyway, why do you bring this up?
Don't know. No. it has. I can't remember the specifics, but it has a couple of sex scenes in it that. Convey character and convey relationships and convey that there's storytelling in the sex scenes that are very effective and very like intimate and I think this is kind of I agree with you is that it's like the I think the age of like an explicit not explicit like what's the word for when it's just unnecessary like
unnecessary
Yeah, no, but like unnecessary and for its own sake and anyway.
Self-serving.
Yeah, there's a word in there somewhere. There's a very like common word. I'm not like I'm not fishing for a big word. I'm like, anyway, that age is done because of pornos and because of OnlyFans and because of Twitter and all of that. But what I think the age that's beginning is sex scenes that are very much about storytelling and character, and
yeah,
I think like we're coming back round to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just an interesting fact, and and not explicit, and not there for the titillation of the viewer, but there to tell story and to because it's such a big part of the human experience.
Of course,
that's not what happens in this movie. This movie is lots of horny sex.
Yeah, so this movie is just a lot of bottoms, a lot of undoing of pants, ripping of tops so you can see boobies.
You remember the bit in the Cosmopolitan when we were younger where you could like rip off the little
sides? Sealed section.
The sealed section?
Of course.
If you're young, you wouldn't know it, but there used to be a little sealed section. And there would often be like sexy photos of like sex positions and just like the curve of a bottom and that sort of thing. That's what this was. This was lots of like the curve of a bottom and like, how is Kevin Costner getting his hand in there without it being inappropriate? Yeah. Oh, I don't know what lens they're using, but it looks like it's in there.
So full on.
And then the rest of the movie's like more full on than that. We don't have to talk about the rest of the movie.
Well, no, like I think it is worth talking about the violence because also like isn't it interesting that sex has changed so much in film but not violence so much?
No.
Yeah. I'm not shocked by violence anymore in film either, but there's nothing different about the violence we saw in this film than what we see now.
No. I mean, it was more. I think there's
very
probably,
bloody, lots of blood.
Yeah, there's probably a little more responsibility of who's getting the violence, how violence is.
Oh, they punch women,
but they're bad people. It's like it made me think of Kill Bill. I love Kill Bill.
Yeah, great.
And that's more violent, equally violent.
Absolutely. There is this scene. Where they go to collect Madeleine Stowe from, and this is the words that they used in the film, from a whore house. And the madam of the whore house is like, I'm not going to tell you where she is. And then Kevin Costner beats her.
Yeah, it's full on. You walked in as I was watching.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was like. Oi! Jack watching that in double time. It sounded incredibly full on.
The violence is interesting. The violence, I don't know what to say about the violence.
Just it was violent, lots of punchies.
Lots of punches, lots of violence. I love violence in film, but it's very, like, how it's used. It's not for double time.
Oh, my God. And I'm sorry. This, I feel, needs to have the biggest trigger warning. They fucking kill a dog.
When did they kill the dog?
Dude, they killed his dog. Would have been very quick on double time. When they burst into the cabin while Madeline Stone and Kevin Costner are having a fuck, they shoot the dog in the head and you don't just hear it, you see it. You see the dog get...
Yeah, no, I remember, yeah.
It's awful.
It's...
That is the worst thing you can put in a film. I don't give a fuck. Kill the protagonist. Punch the woman in the face. Don't kill the golden retriever.
You've heard that like thing. I can't remember where it was, but never kill the dog.
Never kill the dog.
That's like a whole thing in writing.
I don't remember anything about the film I Am Legend. I don't remember a fucking thing except the dog. The dog dying.
When you kill a dog, it's this strange thing about the way we engage with violence. I've read a few things about it. It was like when you kill the dog, it's always more shocking than the people.
There is a movie. It's really cute. It's called A Dog's Journey. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. All of this whole thing is a spoiler alert. They kill a dog 3 times in that film.
Yeah.
Like, don't kill the dog.
Don't kill the dog.
Oh.
But, like, I mean, it elicits a response. Have you ever seen the film?
You just instantly hate the person who kills the dog.
Yeah.
There is nothing the person that killed the dog can do to redeem themselves throughout a film. Not a single fucking thing.
I reckon that guy, though, if he hadn't killed the dog, it would be hard to redeem him. He was a pretty nasty
fella. Nasty pasty.
He was a nasty pasty.
I love how at the end they tried to make it like, actually, not that bad. It's like, no, you are. You killed a dog and look what you did to your wife.
Yeah.
Like... You
didn't have to do
absolute
that.
Garbage man. Anyway.
Have you seen the film Funny Games?
No.
They don't kill a dog.
Okay. Now what's it like?
it's more full on than any of the films you listed with dogs dying. But it
Who's in it?
Well, there was a remake with Naomi Watts in it, but I've not seen the remake. It's the original film is from 1997, and I don't know the actors from it. It's a really, really very full on film. And there's a moment in it that I don't want to go into, but there's a moment in it where it's like, oh, they're not going to go there. Oh, they went there.
Oh, really?
Now I'm sad and upset.
Like, oh, God.
But it's a very good film. It's a very, like, it's worth watching.
There's someone in it called Wolfgang Gluck.
Oh, that's a cool name.
That's a fucking sick name. Should we talk very quickly about Johnny Legs in this film? Because we've got a baby Legs, and we haven't had a baby Legs in a very long time.
I was, you've jumped right to it, but my question was, what it's baby Legs, but there's a burgeoning sexy.
Okay,
do you know what I'm saying here?
I get what you're saying, but I would say, unequivocally, this is baby Legs.
I agree.
I can
there's
see
an awkwardness with the emerging sexiness. Do you know what I'm
let's
saying?
Let's just say this. I know that John Leguizamo in 1990 would be going home and going, I'm going to start going to the gym soon.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I need to kind of, I need to start taking more pride in my appearance, you know?
Like, yeah.
I think my hair's a bit long. I think it's time to start really putting some serious, you know, gas behind this want to be a Hollywood actor.
I think in this there's like a you got something, kid. You know what I mean? Like he's still baby Legs for sure.
Well, if you consider that Henry,
yeah,
which was the year after this film,
he's baby Legs.
He's baby Legs.
What I think this film is it's baby Legs in a sexy Luigi role.
Yeah.
He's wearing the leather jacket. He's like the door's opening. He's looking brooding. He's like there's like a tension here with a baby Legs not quite ready to embrace the mantle of sexy Luigi.
Yeah.
It is baby Legs.
It's baby Legs.
It's baby Legs, but there's a I'm seeing an awkwardness tension between the sexy Luigi he is to become and destined to become.
I would say, however, that the nature of the role, which is a sidekick's sidekick, essentially. He doesn't really have any lines at all. I think he has one in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
That is very baby Legs.
But do you know what I'm saying? In the, like, there's a certain, like, he's not just like, eh. He's like, he's wearing a leather jacket. The door opens.
He's acting like sexy
and
Luigi.
He looks up. But there's also evocations of when we were at drama school and there's these awkward little gangly 20-year-olds playing sexy people in plays.
Yeah.
And then you look back and you're like, ugh. I fully agree with you that he's baby Legs.
Mm.
I think, though, we're seeing a tension here, an emergence, a beginning. If I were to write a memoir, or not a memoir, a biography about the sexy Luigi era, I would mention this film in the preload or in chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
I would say that this is to baby Legs.
Yeah.
This is to baby Legs what Daddy Guizamo is to Dad Guizamo, but the other way around.
I get what you're saying. Okay, that makes sense.
You know
now you're speaking my language. Now, as soon as you said Daddy Guizamo, Dad Guizamo, I'm there, I get it.
Because I feel like Daddy Guizamo is a Dad Guizamo era.
Yep.
Broadly speaking, the broad categorization.
Like a toddler Legs.
Well, no, because that's weird. It's not that he's a toddler. No. Because it's Daddy Guizamo is Hollywood Guizamo embracing his Dad Guizamo. It's a transitional phase.
I don't agree. I think Daddy I think Daddy Guizamo is Dad Guizamo, but in a sexy role.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like Daddy Guizamo became Dad Guizamo. It's yeah. that
so he could
our,
st- he
our
could
mate
still
Johnny
be
Legs, who is currently Dad Guizamo, if he gets cast as a sexy role, he's daddy.
So he can be Daddy Guizamo
yeah.
still.
Yeah.
Because I think Dad Guizamo can be a daddy.
Mm.
But I see, all right, so this is important clarification here.
Yeah.
I think there's two things here. There's two words. That daddy can mean two things. Mm-hmm. Dad Guizamo can be a daddy.
Yes.
In the right role.
Yes.
And in a sexy interview with Wendy Williams.
Yes.
Right? Daddy Guizamo is always a daddy. And it's an early phase of the Dad Guizamo phase. So Daddy Guizamo mm. and Dad Guizamo being a daddy are two different things.
No. No. I think Dad Guizamo, like, he could make a movie tomorrow and mm-hmm. be Daddy Guizamo.
Right. Okay. Look. I think we'll have to revisit this.
Yes.
It's always evolving, always moving.
I'm interested to see, like, I don't know if there's many things he did between 1990 and 1992, because we've established Whispers in the Dark, Sexy Luigi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much he did in this 2 years, but I'll have a bit of research and see at what point, because I was fairly certain that we got it down. It was Regarding Henry, and then something happened between Regarding yeah. Henry and Whispers in the Dark where baby grew up. Baby yeah. got legs.
Baby got legs!
Anyway, what's your Leguistamo rating for Revenge, the 1990 erotic thriller?
Do you know what? I think it's got... Leguizamo, like, even if he wasn't in it,
yes.
it would have a couple of Leguizamos.
Absolutely, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. If I watched this film not knowing that John Leguizamo was, if John Leguizamo wasn't in this film and I chose to watch this film at my own accord, which I would, it is the kind of movie that I would absolutely watch yeah. by myself on a Tuesday night.
100%.
I would be disappointed. I would probably have said, fuck, I wish John Leguizamo was in this film, because it's a John Leguizamo film.
So in
a
the
baby
same
legs
way,
film.
The same way I watched Speed the other week, mm-hmm. and Speed gets Leguizamos.
I watched Speed the other week.
Speed gets Leguizamos,
yeah,
even though he's not in
yeah,
it.
Sure.
He doesn't get a lot.
One and a half? Two? Two.
Yeah, I'd say two. I think Speed is a two Leguizamo film.
Yeah, okay.
Even though he's not in it.
Yes.
And if he was in it, it would be an automatic five.
Absolutely,
if he was
yep.
anyone on that bus.
Yes.
Even if he was in it for 5 minutes,
yeah.
it would be a five Leguizamos.
Yeah. Like we it's a five Beth Grants or whatever. With Beth,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That movie is a five Beth Grants. It would have been a one Beth Grant even if Beth Grant wasn't in it.
Absolutely. I get it. I get it 100%.
This movie I think probably would have been a one Leguizamo without him in it. He's in it a bit. I give it three Leguizamos.
Great. Yeah. I give it 3.5 Leguizamos.
Great, fantastic.
Because it is baby legs through and through.
Mm-hmm.
It has John Leguizamo written all over it. There's also a really beautiful reveal of John Leguizamo because it's an open door
up.
Moment.
Yeah.
And there's John Leguizamo. And I love that. I love a respect paid to the legs where they're like, he's coming on screen.
Waco is
oh,
still
Waco
the best.
Oh, Waco is the best. Waco was fucking amazing. I'm pretty sure one of us messaged each other. Like,
it was the end of episode
see?
One.
Oh.
It was like, oh, he's not in it. He's not in yeah. it. Like only two people watching that
across,
movie going.
From one house across the road.
And then
the
there's
house.
In the window, John Leguizamo.
Oh,
but this one, I fully agree with you on the reveal. Very sexy.
Yeah.
Very, very. It's the reason why I was like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sexy Luigi. And yeah. then like, he like, tried to put his hand in his pocket. It was a little bit
awkward.
And I was like, nah, it's still baby legs.
Yeah, it's still baby legs.
I think in terms of an anthropological study,
mm-hmm.
this is an important film in the development of Sexy Luigi, even
mm-hmm.
though he is not Sexy Luigi. It's an important film.
Actually, 100%. If you are a baby legs fan or a Sexy Luigi fan, you will be satisfied by this film.
Yeah, if you're a Sexy Luigi fan, you're not going to have a great time because he's not there
yeah.
yet. But as an enthusiast, as an anthropologist,
mm.
you're going to be like, this is a worthy film to watch to see the development
of the
Sexy Luigi era.
Preach.
Mish, thank you so much for joining me on my podcast. Where can they check you out if they want to find out more about you?
They could jump on my Instagram at Mission Zach.
Yeah, yeah, or at Mish Wittrup.
Or at Mish Wittrup. Please, please follow me. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. It's been a delight. And I'll see you next time on the podcast.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.